Now it's time for this.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With expert advice and support from Vodafone, your business can make technology work for you. See vodafone.ie/business.
I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair this week, Aisling Hassel. She's the CEO and founder of Daha Wellness. Aisling, you're very welcome to the programme.
Oh, great to be here. Thanks.
Now, Aisling, you've had a long and varied career, which we're going to talk about in a second. But bring me back to Glasnevin. You're a very proud Northside girl. Your first job was working in your friend's dad's sweet shop, where you learned a little bit about retail sales.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, I grew up in Glasnevin, youngest of six. And went to Holy Faith Glasnevin. And one of the girl I sat beside, Caroline, her dad owned the sweet shop. And so it was my first job. And I thought it was great, you know, getting a bit of pocket money.
Yeah.
But the hordes of kids that came in with 20p wanting the selection of halfpenny at the time and penny sweets, that was the most stressful, probably, job I could have had at that age.
Now, was off to study engineering in Trinity, or was it Wales which was first?
I was very fortunate to get a scholarship for the last 2 years of senior school, and I went to United World College in Wales, Atlantic
Wow.
College. And so it studies, the curriculum there is based on the International Baccalaureate. So I did the IB there, and then that just kind of opened up new opportunities. So that's how I ended up doing engineering in Trinity then.
Okay. And to say of your engineering academia in Trinity, first in class, a master's in fluid dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I suppose what you describe as your first real job was the editor of the engineering database. So this was full on engineering stuff here.
Yeah. So I did mechanical and manufacturing engineering, and I did that because it's quite a broad discipline. You know, you're not kind of pigeonholed into one area. It's kind of got a good kind of broad set of topics. And then after that, I was like, well, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then I got offered to do a master's. So I did the master's in fluid dynamics, which was a very exciting topic about fluid flow over heat exchangers.
Right.
Something to put you to sleep. I have it at home if you want it. Then after that, yeah, I did. It was kind of an interesting job. There was a publishing company that were based in the Bronx, and it was their first time out of the US, and they were setting up what they called an abstract unit. And that was where they got all the science journals, and they got, you know, hired a lot of us to basically write the abstracts. Of course, it's way outdated now, like AI would just summarize
yeah.
that one for you. But it ended up being like a jumping into a management job basically straight after college. So I had a couple of editors, like six editors, and then in total about 23 engineers. And we were all graduate engineers who basically read all these scientific journals and summarized them for CD-ROMs for, you know, research purposes.
Good old anorak stuff there.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Now, your break really came in semantic. You were 14 years there.
Yeah.
Started as a manager in localization, ended up as vice president of global customer experience. So tell us about your journey there, 14 years and all.
Yeah. Well, it was an interesting one. So, yeah, I worked out in Ballycoolan in Semantic there, and they had a very large manufacturing actually at the time, and localization, which is where they translated all the software into about 11 languages. And my job was the localization department, which were the people who managed the translators in country. And we translated both the software, but also the boxes. So another interesting part of that was I used to have to go out to Smurfit's. We had a very particular yellow. It was called Semantic Yellow. It was actually in Pantone. And I had to go out with a little, you know, one of those little eye
yeah.
and make sure that the yellow was the right yellow. So it was an interesting job. And I was there for about a year when the company was really encouraging kind of cross-pollination across, you know, for the European sort of centres, people in the European centres to go over to the States and vice versa. More of us went that way, I have to say. So a lot of us went over to the States as part of that kind of sort of transfer programme. And I ended up staying. So I went over, told my boss I would go for a year, and I ended up staying there for 13 years in the States.
Did you? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
I think before your Airbnb days, you did time at Sage and Vodafone.
That's right.
Again, in the customer experience area.
Yeah. Yeah. So we decided we wanted to get back home. So I sort of did a, as close, a, I got a role as close to home as I could, which was in London. So I worked for Vodafone Group in London near Paddington, and then Sage Software, which is based in Newcastle. And then after that, transitioned fully back to Ireland and with a job with Airbnb.
Now, in Airbnb, you were there for almost 7 years. There was 100 people on your team when you started. Mm-hmm. That grew to 10,000 mm-hmm. Over a six-year period. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that, because it must have been a real roller coaster, full-on business, growing like just at such a rate.
Yeah.
But even keeping up with all that.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, very fortunate to be part of that wild ride, but it was a crazy time. I remember I had just joined, and Brian Chesky, the CEO and founder, he was doing what he called like a world at, which is where he talks to the whole company, obviously digitally for those of us not in San Francisco. And I had just been sitting down with my team saying, I mean, what's the growth plan? You know, and they were like, oh, we think it's going to be, you know, I don't know, like 2x or something. And I was like, okay, great. And my job in operations was to make sure we stayed ahead of the growth and then could service our customers, our hosts and our guests. So I had thought I had a handle on that, and I was figuring out all the doing the math, you know. There wasn't an awful lot of like science behind it then, because everything was just so new. So, but anyway, I listened to this world at, and I would say I just paled significantly, because Brian started talking about all his growth plans and the trajectory, and it was hockey stick growth. So,
yeah.
Just trying to stay ahead of that was definitely challenging, but built a great team and super proud of the work we did. So,
yeah, and I suppose when you look back on it, you know, in businesses that are growing at that pace, you are making stuff up as you go along, because you're in a whole new market, and it's like,
we're basically building the car as we're hurtling down the track. Yeah, we used to show actually a GIF of that all the time, where you'd have people trying to assemble a car running down a racetrack, and it was like that. And it was a lot of hard work, and we all had to pitch in like long hours, but it was also really exciting to be part of a growth story like that. And
so Deha Wellness, tell me about it, and I suppose your new incarnation, because this is going to be a very different, I suppose, experience to what you're used to.
Oh yeah, on many fronts, to be honest. I suppose a lot of people call it my encore career, you know, or my passion project. But, you know, as you could tell from the jobs I've had, they're always pretty intense, of lots of travel, lots of long hours, etc. And always tried to kind of recharge myself when I was working. That would either be through, you know, going out with friends to yoga, or, you know, trying to get a massage, or, you know, go sailing, which is my hobby. And I just found like it's so hard to do that, because you're trying to squeeze it into a busy life.
Yeah.
And then when I came home, I thought, I found it even harder. And so I thought, well, there has to be a better way to help people look after their well-being. And part of the challenge is, it's either you go on expensive retreats, or, you know, you're trying to find somebody who does reflexology, or somebody who does Reiki or whatever. And they're all really great therapists, but they're all spread out, all around the place. So I thought, it has to be easier to put it, like, maybe it's possible to put everything under one roof, do it really professionally. And then, because I did a lot of branded experience, it was also kind of, and my operational head, I was always like, I could do this much better. You know, I could really design it thoughtfully about how would you create a space that really nurtured people's well-being. So that's how the idea was born. And then, did a lot of brand work and then launched it there last year.
And is this aimed at the corporate culture in terms of companies booking for a day? Or is it a very individual play?
One of our brand values is accessible to all. So it is accessible to corporates, but the target market is really community-based. So one of our values is focusing on the community and helping kind of create a tribe of wellness around a community. So primarily individuals who are looking to kind of nurture themselves and find some expertise as well. Like, the idea is that we're sort of there is a haven in the centre of the community to teach, nurture and inspire. So we also do everything from treatments, but we do events as well, where we have speakers come in and talk about wellness topics and things that might be top of mind for people, whether that's gut health or stress management, etc.
So it sounds like a very interesting business to be in. As someone said to me a long time ago, if you're in a business where the market is growing, you're in the right business.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, it's not primarily about the numbers, but obviously, you know, you want to be in a market, as you say, that has demand.
Yeah.
And so wellness as a business, like wellness as a sort of a whole industry, is growing at twice the pace of global GDP. So it's growing at about 7%. I think the Global Wellness Institute valued it, like, in 23 at 6.3 trillion. And I'd say by now it's about up to 7 trillion. So it's a big business. It's growing, which is good because people are looking after themselves better and are more deliberate, I think, about doing that, you know.
Okay. Now, and just something we, as you mentioned earlier, you're a sailor. In 2010, you sailed from Florida to Tahiti. And during your COVID, or the COVID years, you took off on a 46 catamaran for a couple of years, mm-hmm. just to escape COVID. And with your good husband, and I think one of the things you used to like to say, or when people asked who the skipper was, you were able to put up your hand.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, my long-suffering husband is not a sailor, but it was his idea, actually.
He was dragged along.
No, not actually, it was his idea because he didn't come on the first trip. And I think he had a bit of FOMO because he used to fly into the anchorages and he'd see what a great time and all the rest. So it was actually him and my son who suggested that we do this second adventure together. And so, yeah, he... there's the funniest story about me being, so I'm the sailor and, you know, Daryl was the chef, actually. He always gets violently seasick, but we found these great patches called scopoderm, which the astronauts used in space to stop the
motion sickness,
I guess. Yeah. But we were in Panama, and to go through the Panama Canal, you have to have a pilot on board. So there was myself, my husband at this stage, Gerr, and Michelle. And so the pilot comes on board and goes straight to my husband and Gerr and said, which of you is the captain? And they all, like, literally pivot to me and go, her. And he literally went, oh. And the disappointment on his face was, like, very evident. But yeah, anyway, at the end...
Mistaking the captain for the chef.
I know. But then when he got off, he says, you know how to handle your boat. And I was
well
like,
done.
Thank you.
Well, Aisling, it's been great to talk to you. What a career. Good luck with Daya Wellness. It sounds like a great business. And thanks for coming into us today.
Oh, delighted to be here. Thank you so much.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With expert advice and support from Vodafone, your business can make technology work for you. See vodafone.ie/business.